So I was trying to figure out even how to prepare for this morning. It's always a little bit difficult to know how to transition from kind of Christmas messages and into the new year, and figure out how do we start a new year without it just being just another encouragement to New Year's resolutions and things like that, which we all know we're really good at keeping, right? But as I was thinking about our conversation that we had in an elder team meeting here a couple of weeks ago, and how we were talking about just how do we grow in spiritual maturity as a church family and as individuals, but also how do we just have a great presence in our community? How do we share the gospel with people without it being offensive, and yet at the same time with just sharing the word of God? How do we kind of operate in our different roles, whatever those capacities are in the church? You know, how does all of this work? And the thing that kind of got the attention towards the end of our meeting was this idea of spending more time in Scripture, not in this context right here, where you're hearing Scripture coming to you from the person up in front. And I believe in this. I really do. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe in it. It's really important for us to gather together and to worship God together, and then also to hear God's word. And I take this very seriously. But there's more than just hearing the word of God. There's something about getting into it yourself. You know, you kind of know this from kids. You remember the old comedy, Kids Say the Darndest Things? A few of you remember it. I was a kid back when that was on TV. And a lot of times, you know, the way kids hear things is so interesting. And so I came across this website that had some of the things that kids heard from sermons. It's really interesting what kids hear. Some of the funniest things that come from kids comes from what they hear in Sunday school or from a sermon. Here are some of the things that kids heard. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. Concubines. Just because it's in Scripture does not mean that God is for it, okay? Okay, another kid heard this. The seventh commandment is thou shalt not admit adultery. Commit. Okay. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. This is for only some of you. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he obeyed him. For those of you that know, there's one instance where the son stood still in the heavens. kids saw that differently. Jesus gave us the golden rule, which says to do one to others before they do one to you. There's what we hear, and we can hear a lot, and if we're just hearing, sometimes we're not getting it for ourselves. And there's something about getting it for ourselves. There's something about not just hearing sermons and hearing, like we do these small groups, and in these small groups, a lot of times we're doing some video-based teaching, and it's incredible. And sermons can be really good, and they can be really inspiring, and they can be really boring, and I've had some people tell me that. Sometimes I've even been bored by my own sermons, which is not a good thing. But they can be good and they can be inspiring, but at the same time, there's something about getting into God's word on your own that is so vital and so pivotal. And there's a level of spiritual growth that happens when people get into the word of God on their own that cannot happen in this kind of environment where you're hearing. Because unless you hear and then you go and you get into God's word and you start to apply it for yourself, there's always going to be a level of nutrition that just isn't going to happen. And so there's something about getting into God's word. Now, the difficult thing is it's hard to get into God's word. It just is. There's things in there that are a little bit harder to read. One of the guys in the church told me that he's been reading through the Bible, and he says, oh man, Numbers was hard. It was really hard. That took some work to get through. You know, there are parts of the Bible that are like that. And then there are other parts of the Bible that they're a lot easier. There's story and there's things to apply right away. And so so sometimes it takes a little bit more work to make one's way through the Bible. That's one of the neat things about what we're trying to do as a church in 2019 is to read scripture together. Is that we'll be going through those tougher parts together. And then we can complain about them together. And then the other parts where they seem more applicable is we'll be going through them together. That's part of the reason why we wanted to challenge individuals to do this. And again, I know that some of you already have reading plans and ways of doing things, and this may not be for you. But this is kind of what we came up with in our elder team is hey, what if we were to be in scripture together? And the neat thing about the way that we're doing it is that if you use the apps, you're going to have some of those videos that explain certain books of the Bible and certain parts, themes, in a way that's easier to understand. And some people are just good old paper people. That's why the reading plan is out there on paper. So that's good. But this is something for us to consider. In Western culture, we have so much. I mean, we have the smartphones and the tablets and the computers and the media. We have so much access and so much familiarity. And it's so interesting is because the average person, I think the statistic was in America is that the average person has 5 Bibles. If they're a Christian, they have even more than that. But only 15% of people read the Bible regularly. Only 15% of people read the Bible regularly. We have an abundance of the books. And yet very little application of them. And that's too bad. You know, I've been in parts of the world where they literally are dying to get Bibles. And that to have a Bible means so much to them. In 2011, I think it was, Jay Pravacek and I were in India. And it was just amazing the difference in how they internalized scripture and how they just longed to hear the word of God. Because Christians there is you're in a very pluralistic culture where you have Hinduism and you have Islam and you have Christianity, which is really the smallest group, and a number of other religions. And there is some level of danger to being a Christian. In fact, since we've left over the last few years, there has been in the area where we did work, there were a number of churches that were burned down and some pastors who were killed. But when Jay and I, when we spent time at these orphanages, it was amazing because these kids came up and they did these little presentations for us. And Pastor Samuel would have these kids come forward and they would quote scripture and Pastor Samuel would translate for us while they were quoting scripture. And they're quoting books of the Bible from memory. And I was a little bit ashamed. Because, I mean, I've been a pastor now for a long time. I'm getting old. One of the guys in the church said not too long ago, you're getting old like the rest of us. Thanks. And I haven't done that kind of thing. I have so much access and zero persecution. And I can't do that. I have not internalized God's word to that extent. But these little kids are quoting books of the Bible, so much so that Pastor Samuel, after they'd get through a chapter or two, he'd say, okay, that's enough. And you could tell that they wanted to keep on going. Nick Ripken, in his book, The Insanity of God, talks about ministering in the Muslim world, where people, when they came to Christ, oftentimes they came to Christ having never had a Bible of their own. They'd come to Christ in these miraculous ways, and they would so desire a Bible. And he talks about ministering to pastors in the Muslim world. And in one instance, there was one Bible, and the pastors got together and they started talking about it. And you know what they decided to do? Is they decided to take the Bible apart at its bindings, and each of them would take a book. And that they would use that book as God's word to them, and they would teach out of it, and then they would exchange it when they could. And we have Bibles and Bibles and Bibles in our homes. And very few of us pick up and read. I love the story of St. Augustine. St. Augustine was not a saint to begin with. He was anything but. His mother was a Christian, and she prayed hard for him, and she must have wondered where God was when she was praying for much of that time. Augustine was wild, to say the least. He fathered a child through a concubine. He refused to marry this concubine, even though he loved her, because of what it would do to his reputation if he were to get married. Because he had some level of status. And he would go to listen to the Bishop of Milan speak, because this guy was an unbelievable preacher, an unbelievable speaker, but he didn't believe it. And then one day he was in a courtyard, and he heard a child singing a song that he'd never heard before. And the child kept on saying over and over again, "Take up and read, take up and read, take up and read." And he thought, "What? I've never heard that song before." And then he realized is that it was probably God speaking to him, which he never had that happen. And so he went and he looked at the first Bible that he could come across. And on this table, the Bible was open to Paul's words in the book of Romans. And the first verse that he came across, and now remember, is he was wild. He was more interested in girls and partying than he was in anything else. And he had totally rejected the word of God. His mother had prayed for him and had asked him not to go to a particular city because she knew how wild it was. And so he said, "Don't worry, Mom, I'm not going to go." And then when she went off, he got on a ship and he sailed away to that city. He was a wild guy. But after hearing this, "Take up and read," he picked it up and his eyes fell on this verse, "Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." And God used that to correct him and to bring him to repentance. And he became one of the greatest pastors and teachers that the church has known since the apostles. There's something about taking up and reading that's good for us to do. The danger is that we will read the Bible for what we want to get out of it, instead of what it has to say to us. There's something about reading the Bible and saying, "Okay, God, what are you saying to me?" Because as you read the Bible should be reading you. It should be speaking to you. Now, it was written to people long ago, but it has application for today. And so we read it and we say, "What did the author mean for those people during that time?" But then because it's eternal truth, and because it's God's truth, it still applies today. And so we say, "Lord, read my life now. I've read your word. Speak into my life. What are you saying to me?" Not what do we feel like it says, but what does it say to us? It's important for us to think about that. Earlier I mentioned that only 15% of Christians read the Bible on a regular basis. I think some of this is because we live in this culture where we're just inundated with information. We have a 24-hour news cycle. I mean, at any time, you can pick up your phone or your tablet, or you can turn on the TV, and literally 24 hours a day, there's news being pumped out. There is a flow of information that in past generations was unheard of. We have so much information. It's one journalist in the New York Times put it this way: he said that there's a new thing on most news sites, and it's called, if I can find it here, I wrote down the initials, ICYMI sections. ICYMI sections, in case you missed it. Like the information is moving so fast that they actually have an in case you missed it section, because earlier in the day you might have missed a news item. News outlets now, they post to social media. Do you know how often they're posting to social media? 3 times a day. Because the social media streams move so fast now that they have to post the same item 3 times in order to get that information to you. And this journalist put it this way, he said, there's so much noise out there. Can you hear me whisper? And there's actually a story in the Bible about God speaking to the prophet Elijah, and yet there was a storm, and it says that God was not in the storm. There was wind, and it says God was not in the wind. There was all of this noise, and it says God was not in this. And then it said that God whispered to him. See, the Bible is not loud and obnoxious. In fact, it's so unassuming that it's easy to miss out on. It takes intention. It takes intention. And yet it's powerful. When you hear what the Bible says about itself, it's amazing. In Romans 15, it says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. I mean, you think about it, we live in a world where there's a lot of darkness. And the Apostle Paul is saying hey, all of these things were written. They were written for a purpose, and they were written for you so that you could have hope. And it's no wonder that we see so few signs of hope, because, you know, where are we going to find hope today if we're not in the Word of God? In Isaiah 55:11, it says that my word that goes out from my mouth shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus told the disciples, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. In Joshua 1:8, the encouragement to the people of God was, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That success comes from sticking close to the Word of God. And Hebrews 4 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom they must give an account. And then it says that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens for us, and his name is Jesus, the Son of God. And so let us hold fast to this confession. Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know what he prayed for us? He said, for all who are mine. His prayer to the Father was, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So we want to be in the Word of God together. this week I was looking through reading plans and I thought, well, here's an easy one. And Kyle and I talked about it and kind of, these weren't our exact words, but the idea was, is that's too easy. That's too easy. That one was called the 5x5x5 plan. It's, you know, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. I forget what the other five was, but it was easy. We don't want easy. We'd love it if we could go through the Word of God together in a year where as many of us as possible can read through the whole Bible in a year. It'd be great if we could talk about it a little bit. We don't know what that looks like. Christmas season has been busy, and so we haven't had a lot of time to work this all out. But what would it look like for us to go through the Bible together? If people come in during the year, they can pick up where we're picking up, and they can join us. And we'd love to celebrate at various times throughout the year and talk about, hey, this is how it's going. And have ways of celebrating on a monthly basis and on a quarterly basis and at the half-year point and to do it on Sunday mornings together. We're going to watch a video that was put out by the Read Scripture group that talks about this whole initiative right here. One of the main speakers in the video is Francis Chan, and he's really promoting this. But before we get to that, Your first day of reading will take you through, I think it's the first two or three chapters of Genesis, and then it takes you to Psalm chapter 1. And one of the ideas is that we will pray through Psalms together. Here's what it says in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Particularly appropriate, huh? Here in Big Timber. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. We're going to watch this video. It's challenging, but it's a good encouragement to be in Scripture. Here it is.
When I read the Word, I really take it as God's Word. I'm praying before I read, and I'm asking the Lord to show me like if I've never read before and let me experience Him in that time.
There's a story in Luke 10 where Jesus enters this house of Mary and Martha, and Mary's just sitting at his feet, glued, like listening to him. Martha's running around doing all this stuff, preparing, and she actually gets angry and tells Jesus, hey, can't you tell Mary to help me? She's just sitting there. And Jesus answers and says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And when I read that story, I'm like, gosh, our churches are filled with Marthas that are anxious about so much stuff. And I'm not hearing about the people that are just sitting at the Lord's feet every day, doing the one thing that Jesus says is necessary. I mean, don't you think that's a big deal? When Jesus says one thing is necessary, what Mary's doing, sitting at my feet. It's the same thing that David says in Psalm 27. He goes, one thing have I asked of you, that which I'll seek after. And that's to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to gaze upon his beauty. All through Scripture, people saw this as the priority. I just want to be alone in the presence of God. We've lost this art of meditating day and night on the Word of God, like Psalm 1 says, where we become these trees that are just rooted, but instead we're just blown and tossed by the wind. We're not rooted, we're not strong, we're not deep. And the church needs to get deep in the Word, and that happens when individuals get alone with the Word of God.
Instead of going to the Word for answers for my problems, I need to just continue to learn more about who God is and what He says for me, and that shines a light on everything in my life and gives me a lot of perspective.
In Exodus 19, you have this amazing story where Moses walks up the mountain to meet with God himself. And everyone else is standing at the base of the mountain because they're not allowed to go up. And they see fire, they see smoke, the ground is shaking. And every time God speaks, they say it's like thunder, like a trumpet. Can you imagine being down there and just going, I can't wait till Moses comes down. I can't wait to hear what it was like to be in the presence of God. Can you imagine how excited Moses was to come down and tell the people, go, man, I just was with God. See, the church should be a bunch of people who spent time on that mountaintop alone with God, and then we gather together to talk about it, excited, going, man, I was in the presence of God. This is what he said to me. This is what he said to me. And we share our experiences. But nowadays, that's not what the church is like. Instead, it's just everyone coming to hear about one person's experience. Think about how powerful the church would be if we all read the Word of God together and had these experiences of God. Then we came together. This last year, we had the whole congregation commit to reading through the entire Bible. And we used the Read Scripture app so that we'd all be on the same passages. And it was so cool because you saw people talk about the Word of God every day. Like they were talking to each other about the passage they read that morning. So then when we would gather on Sunday, it wasn't like they were starving and needed a word from the one guy that came to the presence of God. No, everyone was dwelling on this all week long.
I just love it because it doesn't put a pressure on me like, hey, I got to perform or do something to entertain these people. I'm just like, all right, here it is. Let's open it up now. And sometimes it'll stay quiet for a little while. And just being able to sit through that silence, you know, till somebody finally steps out and says, yeah, here's what I've been looking at.
In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Yeah, getting quiet, it matters for everything I do, whether it's a small task or something really large and impactful for the kingdom. I have to be centered on his truth or I tend to make up my own.
And we live in a time where everyone goes, hey, I think this, I feel this. And God's saying, it doesn't matter. Do you understand? Like, you see the heavens up there? See how it's so much higher than the earth? He goes, that's the way my thoughts are. So why do we spend all day looking inside and trying to figure out what we feel and what we think if God tells us right there that his thoughts are not the same as ours, but they're infinitely higher? Doesn't it make sense that all of us should be then searching, well, then what are those thoughts? What does God think? And so when you see a congregation all searching the Word of God because we love the thoughts of God and we see them as far superior to our own, that's what bonds us together. And how amazing would it be if we saw believers all over the country commit, make the effort and say, we're going to read through the Bible together. And what if we really did read the same passages of Scripture every day? And then every believer you came in contact with, you could fellowship over God's thoughts, how we could be unified as a church. And people would learn to discover truth, not just by listening to what everyone says, but by studying the Word for themselves. Like, I don't get it. Like, how have we gone so far from what we see in Scripture where people say, this is the one thing I want, and where the Son of God says, this is the one thing that is necessary. And meanwhile, we have these churches and people who call themselves Christians, and they don't even long for the one thing that believers have longed for all of history, to hear from the Lord, to understand him, to come into his presence. Man, pastors, it's time that we step up and get our people to get into the Word. I mean, push them to get into God's presence for themselves. It's going to make our churches so much stronger. We can't just allow people to come and just hungry all week waiting for this word from us because we came into the presence of God and we as pastors studied the word of God. No, it's when they fellowship over it. And it's when they can stand on their own 2 feet because they know how to read the scriptures. That's when the church is going to be strong again. That's when there's going to be a depth. And that's when our people will no longer be tossed by every feeling that they get because we'll look at the Word of God and we'll be people of the Word of God because we read scripture for ourselves and we know truth.
For those of you that were at our Christmas Eve services, the focus of the Christmas Eve service was this whole picture of Jesus and Jesus being born. But you know, there's this census and they arrive in Bethlehem and the birth is imminent. And so they're trying to find a place to be. And it says that there was no room in the inn, whether that's guest room or house or inn, like a guest house inn. There's no room for the Son of God. The one who should have been born in a palace was born in a manger. But then we take that further into scripture, and it's interesting is because Jesus, his primary condemnation of the religious leaders, and he said this, he was very direct with them. He said, the reason you want to kill me is because there's no place for my word in you. There's no place for my word. What does it look like for us to have a place for God's word in us? He is the God who doesn't dwell in man-made temples. In the Old Testament, God's presence was in a temple. Today, the temple is you. It says that you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and that God dwells inside of temples, and you are his temple. And the proper place for the Word of God to be is coming into you. The Bible says that Jesus is the living Word, the Word of God for you. We have the written Word also. And it's for us. And so the most important thing that we can do, first and foremost, is to put our faith in Jesus Christ because he is the living Word. And he is the one who brings salvation. He is the one who brings mercy. He is the one who brings grace. The whole reason that he came was to show us, to reveal to us the way that God would work out his salvation plan. And so he came and he lived a perfect life. And we were told that he was rejected and that he was treated like a sinner for the sake of sinners. And what that meant is that he was punished like a sinner would be punished, like the worst of sinners would be punished. And he was punished by being sentenced to death. And it says that he became like a sinner for each one of us. And that he identified with us in every way, but that he took the punishment that a sinner would get, even though he never sinned, for us. And he was killed on a cross. And that when that happened, sin was judged. Sin was judged, even though he never committed it, because it was our sin that was judged. And when he rose again, you know, even while he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. What is finished? Sin being judged. It's done. It's finished. It's paid for. He rises again on the third day. The Bible says he's the first fruits of those who will rise. It's an amazing story, and it's a story for us. It's a story that we need to know well. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, then I encourage you to do that. As just, you know that you struggle. You know that you sin. You know that if people actually knew what you thought about or all of the things that you did, that you'd deserve to be punished like any criminal would. You know that. Jesus took the punishment. If you take your sin seriously, then you'll know that more than anything else, your biggest problem in life is not having enough money or those things. It's not those things. Your biggest problem in life is sin. And it's why Jesus came. And it's why he says, come to me, follow me. I'll bring cleansing. I'll bring forgiveness that you need. And so put your faith in Jesus. The second part of that is get into his word. Get into his word. It's the challenge that we have for 2019. So, it's a prayer thing. I'm not good at this stuff, and I'm a pastor. So there's a sense in which I get paid to do it, which might even make it a little bit harder sometimes. But let's do it together. It'll be easier to do if we do it together. So as many as who are able or can, grab a reading plan, download the YouVersion Bible app or the Scripture, the Read Scripture Bible app. If you need help, we'll find a 12-year-old who will show you how to do it. Okay? If you need help, ask Caleb or Nicholas or Levi or Kevin back there. They're not 12, but they're close enough to 12 that they know how to do it. So all of you, go out into the foyer area and help people download the app to their phones and get them signed up for this. Well, okay. You get it? Let's stand. Let's close in prayer. Father and Lord God, you're good and you're gracious, Lord, and thank you for your word, for your word is true and it's good. And Lord, in our sinfulness, in our destruction, it's hard for us to work our way through it. But Lord, because it's truth, it will speak life into us and we need it. And so, Lord, help us to figure out how to do this, how to do it well. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it even become infectious. Lord, that other churches would kind of pick up on this, but that we'd be excited about it. And Lord, when we get slowed down and we feel the monotony of it, Lord, that we'd be able to encourage each other to keep going. Thanks, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.